Freddie took a gun to the graveyard, and he shot and killed himself on the graveyard of his mom and his sister. He didn't have a dad. His sister and his mom were killed by a drunk driver, and he wasn't in the car, and that's all he had. And so he felt alone. And even though there was a lot of us that hung out, he didn't feel comfortable enough to talk to us, to tell us, "I feel alone. I miss my mom. I miss my sister. I'm thinking about killing myself." And he didn't talk to anybody.
Created live on Fireside.
Welcome. Today, we're going to be talking about, if you look on the internet, it'll say June is Men's Health Month, but they also throw in Men's Mental Health Month and Men's Health. And basically, this started back in 1994. Back in 1994, it was a week for men to kind of bring light to things that we take for granted or don't really pay too much attention to. And then Bill Clinton extended it from a week long to a whole. So it went from just a week to a whole month in 1994. And when it comes to health, if everybody's been following me for a while, or if you haven't, welcome. I'm really into fitness. But besides fitness health, there's physical health, there's emotional health, there's mental health, different types of health. It seems like it, like a lot of us men, the ones that it's either we don't work out at all, and the one, and then the rest, we take care of the physical, mental, and emotional. It doesn't seem like we do. And just by looking at some of these sticks that I was looking at, it's sad how many men are committing suicide a year. The fact that I lost my father when I was young, he passed away when I was 18. So I know what it's like to grow up without a father figure. I have plenty of friends that grew up without a father. Their fathers abandoned them. And I see people, everyone's different. Some people deal with it better than others, but I've seen everything. And if it's something that could be preventable, then that's something that we should strive for. One of the things that I saw, which it was heartbreaking to see, but it seems like in the United States, from what I was reading, it looks like most of the people committing suicide are over 85 years old. I'm a big Les Brown fan, so if you've heard Les Brown, he always talks about the graveyard, how the graveyard is the saddest place in the world because it took dreams, it took hopes and aspirations of men and also women, but they never acted out on what they wanted to do. And I wonder if some of these suicides are because of regret or feeling that you didn't accomplish, or it could be also medical complications that the suffering is too much. So it's so it's so many different scenarios, and I'll read you some of the statistics that I saw. But basically, it's to bring awareness to everybody. I normally do the show every Friday, and if you've noticed, I've been missing for maybe a couple weeks, maybe three, and not really missing. I'm always, you know, creating content. I'm going on 2 years of doing this, or actually, I just had my 2 years. I was planning to do a special. I was planning to hit 200 episodes. This is episode 196. So that quite didn't work out. And a lot of things are going on. If you've been following my journey from, you know, physical fitness to goals to since the whole pandemic, not just me, but, you know, career changes and everything else. So I took time off. I took time off for my mental health, for my well-being, for me to get my shit together so that I don't break down and so that I could keep being a role model, and actually not just a role model for my kids, but also be there like physically and able and capable of being with my, I say kids, but they're grown, but being able to go and things like going for a walk, things that we take for granted. How many people do we see on mobile scooters or using walkers or canes and things like that? So being around and being mobile and being able to have conversations. I did a lot of research on this, and I need this I'm going to get this sound card so I can do some sound bites. I got some really good sound bites of a lot of top athletes, from like Michael Phelps to Ryan Garcia. And I was really kind of looking into all this as well. At this point, this is like a short version of the show because it is a whole month. It's a whole month, but really you haven't heard anything about it. You hear more about Pride. I have nothing against the Pride Month, and I have nothing against homosexuals or the gay community or anything like that, but you hear more about that. And when I was looking at TikToks, a lot of them were like bashing on, oh, you don't know anything about men's health awareness, but you know about Pride Month, or if this was women. And I want to do it without bashing anybody because we're all human beings. But it is, just looking at the numbers, it's sad how a lot of men don't want to deal with emotion. So maybe some of them use anger and some of them just stay quiet. Saw another thing where they're saying a lot of men, just as they get older, they take that lone wolf mentality. And if they knew that the final outcome of the lone wolf is they don't do well, it's when they're in a pack. Those wolves do well. And it's so difficult just for guys to open up about anything. A lot of it was heartbreaking seeing some of these TikToks about depression and suicides and everything going on. And the comments was what got to me more. The comments that I were reading was people saying, my brother didn't open up to anybody, or my brother didn't talk to anybody for the last 2 years and he's not here. And it was just a bunch of people commenting on how loved ones and family members that they've had have committed suicide. So now it's time where, besides suicide and everything, it's a good time to kind of pamper yourself a little bit and figure out, what is it that you're not paying attention to? What is it that you could pay attention to? Maybe tweaking your diet, or maybe setting up a diet plan, or I hate the word diet, but what you eat, your food consumption, maybe one day out of the week. Now, baby steps. If you're just used to eating in the street all the time, one day eat clean and go from there. Also, a good time to focus on goals or create goals. And they could be goals that will help you with your mental health, getting in better physical shape, things like that, reaching out to people. The other one is get educated. If you feel that you can't get out of that depression, seek professional help, but get educated. Right now, there's plenty of resources and support everywhere. It's just about you being brave enough or be willing enough to ask for help. There's plenty. Depression, frustration comes from guilt, from shame, judgment, contentment, fear, and don't let any of that stop you. I'm proud of you. I know that life is not easy, and it doesn't really matter if you're famous or not. You guys should know by now that I watch sports big time, and I found out that Ray Lewis' son passed away like 2 days ago, and it came out, I think, today that it was an overdose, and that's got to be heartbreaking. And it goes to show you that you don't escape pain, you don't escape sorrow, and even if you are good, that doesn't mean that your family member's going to be good, or loved one. We're always going to be dealing with adversity. We're always going to be dealing with something new coming up, and it's really going to be the way that if you can prepare yourself, for me and other people like David Goggins say, really pushing yourself, putting yourself in suffering will help you deal with the tragedies of life when they occur, and they will. So you have to be prepared, and to get prepared, you always better if you're mentally prepared. And to get mentally prepared, that's where I'm saying there's so many resources now. There's podcasts, there's Fireside, there's YouTube, there's chat apps, there's calling your friend, just especially if you have grandpas or older uncles or anything like that. I'm reading that statistic of older people, maybe they feel alone. I'm going to just kind of speak in general, but these are some people that I know that are family members. I know some of them feel like, just for example, that their kids only want to call them when they need money. And so they don't really feel a connection. They don't really feel loved. A lot of family members have passed on by now. So they're like one of the last ones. How do you deal with that? If you don't do any physical exercise, what do you do to numb the pain? Is it alcohol? Because that's one of the major things that men are using. I'm not trying to be like a jerk about it, but when you look at the stats and the next show that I do, it's going to be more stat driven and a lot of sound bites from, like I said, when you start looking into the mental health, if you're a male and you say, especially like an athlete, because you're supposed to be tough, if you say something like, I need help or I need to talk to someone, I'll give you an example. Ryan Garcia, he said that at first, the opponent he was going to fight, Tank, came out and right away said, oh, I think he's doing it because he needs attention and this and that. Later on, he went back and he said on a different show, that's a whole different struggle. And even though they are going to be opponents in the ring, that mental issues is like a whole different thing. And so he doesn't wish that upon anybody. Not only that, but a lot of veterans are affected by this. June is also, I found out, PTSD month. The veterans, from what I've seen, doesn't matter what position they hold in the military, higher likelihood that they will become drug addicts. The consumption of alcohol is used a lot to try and deal with emotions and feelings. And it's funny to me too. It's like we're 2023 and in 20 years from now, 50 years from now, we're going to look back and we're going to be like how uninformed and how uneducated we were about the way we dealt with mental illness. As I said, I was looking into it deep from well-known people, a lot of athletes that I'll be on the next show, because it's like it's the whole month and I'm only going to do one show about it. I think it deserves more, but I think it was Gary Vee who said it. And he said that our mental health has to be put in the same place as our physical health. And that's true. In all sports, and if you're doing something physical, at some point, you're going to need that mental toughness, or you need to develop that mental toughness to endure whatever you're going to go through. For example, I'm a marathon runner, 59 marathons so far. I've done 3 marathons in 3 days, back-to-back marathons. There's times where you don't want to keep going. There's times where you just want to stop. Thank you, everybody, for joining. It's been a very informative. I've learned a lot. I always say that I plan to do shows, and I think that they're going to be so simple. I'm going to just talk a little bit about it. As I start reading the research and the numbers, and I start finding out more, there's still shows that I haven't done because I'm like, this issue is not so simple. This issue is complicated. This issue needs more attention, or I need more preparation for me to feel that I'm educated somewhat enough to be able to speak on the matter, because a lot of these things, it's not a simple fix to it. And I'll be also on the future show kind of talking a little bit more about me and where I've been. As I mentioned, overall, I'm good. So thank you, everybody, overall. But there's times where you do need to step away. It doesn't really matter, in my opinion, what's going on. There's no job. There's nothing on earth that should affect you so negatively that it's going to affect your health for the short term. Where it's like you're not going to be around or anything like that, because the life expectancy has been cut so short because of stress. Let's see here. Here it says that the U.S. male population is 151,781,326 million. Out of that, over 6 million men suffer from depression per year. Male depression often goes undiagnosed. Men are more likely to report fatigue, irritability, loss of interest, work, or hobbies, rather than to say that they feel sad or worthless. Approximately 19.1 million American adults age 18 to 54 have an anxiety disorder. 3 million men have a panic disorder and other phobias. 2.3 million Americans are bipolar. An equal amount of men and women develop this illness. The age that onsets is between 16 to 25. Psychosis and schizophrenia. Approximately 3.5 million people in the USA are diagnosed with this. 90% of the people who are diagnosed with schizophrenia are men, and it's by the age of 30. Eating disorders. I hardly hear any eating disorders when it comes to men. In fact, I haven't really heard too many men like kind of come out and speak on it. I've heard of plenty of women bringing attention to it, you know, bulimia and different types of eating disorders here. The males account for an estimate of 10% of patients with bulimia, orexia, and it's estimated that 35% of those binge eating disorder. That was pretty interesting. And here's where I read it. And by the way, in case you want to know, this is from the website. It is called Mental Health America, if you want to take a look at it. And this, it says here, suicide facts. The highest suicide rate in the United States are found in Caucasian men over the age of 85. Then male suicides have been on the rise since 2000. Suicides is the seventh leading cause of death among males, accounting for 2.2 of all male deaths in 2011. And then more than four times as many men as women die by suicide in the United States. In 2010, a total of 38,364 Americans died by suicide, over three quarters. That's 79% of the suicides were by men. There's a little bit more, but I'm not going to go into all of it. Alcohol dependency. Approximately one in five men develop alcohol dependency during their lives. That's another story we can touch on as well. I believe in balance. I don't see anything wrong with drinking, but there has been times where I've been open about it and say I had to check myself. I noticed I was drinking too much, and I noticed I wasn't drinking because I was having fun or in the ambiance and with my friends, being a social drinker. I was starting to drink because I was depressed, because I was feeling frustrated, because I felt like there was nothing in my control. And that's when I had to check myself. I have another show on here that I also haven't done in a bit as well. That's co-hosted with my friend Ty, and it's called Drunks, and it's about balance. It's about working out, and we review beer after a race or, you know, a competition. You go with your friends, and after that, you go and you have a beer, and you have a good conversation. When you realize, or if you don't realize it, that you're just drinking just to drink, or just going home and drinking by yourselves, so that's you're setting yourself up to make it harder for you to walk away, or you're setting yourself up for failure, because you're personally teaching yourself and developing bad habits that are going to be difficult to break. And then this is about the military veterans. Male veterans, regardless of their form of service, experience nearly twice the rate of alcohol and drug abuse as women. These are some of the famous athletes, and it's funny because these are not any of the ones that I had looked into, but since I found this article, I'm going to look into it, and I'll be doing that show next week, so it'll be a more in-depth show. But Terry Bradshaw, and I do remember, I've mentioned this, I can't find the interview, but I remember him talking about winning the Super Bowl and how he was so happy, and then the next day, he felt darkness, and he felt, I don't understand, if I just won the Super Bowl, why do I feel so depressed? Why do I feel like this? And he's actually been diagnosed with clinical depression in the late 1990s. So that's Terry Bradshaw, former Super Bowl. And then this is something that I've also touched on as well. As I started learning more, and it took me a long time, as I started learning more about working out and drive and peak performance and everything else, I have been learning a lot. Great resource, Andrew Huberman, a professor at Stanford. He talks a lot about your, what is it called right now? It slips my mind, but endorphin. Endorphins is what gets released, makes you feel good. I can't think of the word, but basically it's in the tip of my tongue, but basically it's the thing that you get a little dose released anytime you get excited, or what they do on Instagram when you wake up and someone likes your picture. It's that adrenaline feeling. And what I've learned is that you can learn and help control it so that your highs won't be, your highs can still be high, but your lows won't be as low, because you're kind of learning how to control that. So it slips my mind, but I'll be better prepared to talk about that on the next one. Kevin Dooling, former NBA player, he suffered with a traumatic stress disorder. Also, Earl Campbell, former running back. Larry Sanders, he was a center for the Milwaukee Bucks. Brandon Marshall. Now, I remember when he still was able to play, he had a borderline personality disorder. So he actually, he had an extreme case, but he was able to keep playing. And even Ryan Garcia was mentioned. It's like, hey, first of all, a lot of athletes get hit in the head. So it's hard to know. It's like, is that an effect of PTSD, or is that me, or is there something really wrong, or am I really depressed? Father's Day is tomorrow, so I want to thank all the good fathers out there, because I know there's also bad fathers out there. So to all the good fathers out there, happy Father's Day to you. You are needed. You are, even if your kids don't tell you, you're loved, you're appreciated. You may never realize how appreciated you are, but you guys are. And I'm proud of all the dads. I'm proud of so many friends that I know that, you know, they were hood and could have easily ended up in jail, and they changed their lives around, and they're very, very good parents, like excellent parents. So there's a lot of people that you would judge in a certain way, and they turn out to be really, really good parents. I want to wish all the fathers a happy Father's Day. Enjoy the day, whatever it is. Just don't forget about the month once Father's Day is over. If you want to be around for your loved ones, your family members, you have to take care of your health. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. I'll get into it more, but there's a lot of things that could affect the male, the depression. So let's say, especially as you're getting older, like we saw about the suicide rates, testosterone levels drop in men, and they are associated with depression, stress, mood swings, especially amongst older men. If you're in a relationship, that, as well as erectile dysfunction, could cause issues where maybe your loved one feels that you don't love them, or you don't care for them, or anything like that. That is something that is correctable, that you can go and seek help with your doctor. And there's a lot of things that's what I'm saying. Whatever it is that's bothering you, whatever you're keeping to yourself, whatever it is that you don't want to talk to anyone about, there's other people who have been through it, will keep going through it. It's as long as we don't blow ourselves up, it's going to keep happening. And it's just something that we have to learn to deal with. Just like the roller coaster of life, you can't let the highs get you so high and the lows get you so low. You just got to go with the flow. And if you have a grandpa, uncle, someone that, even if they're not your dad and they're older, and you know that they don't have maybe a lot of friends left because people passed away, or maybe they're just, you know, that they're alone, or maybe they're not even like your friends, but you just see someone on the street, tell them happy Father's Day. Tell them, I hope you're doing well. I saw a lot of research, and there was one TikTok that I seen, and one guy was going around and giving guys flowers, roses, white roses. And you don't really see that. And I was like, wow, this is interesting. And as I kept watching, he offered a rose to a guy in a mobile scooter. And he's like, can I give you a flower? He's like, why? And he's like, because most men don't get their flowers till the funeral. And the guy's like, oh. And I started thinking about that. That's true. Like when you go to prom, if you go to prom, they don't buy you a corsage or anything like that. When do you get flowers besides your funeral? My goal for this show is basically to let all the men know I'm giving you your flowers. A lot of things that you guys do, that you keep to yourselves, that you wake up early, go to bed late, work hard for your family, and you keep it all bottled up inside, and you're not releasing it in any way, but you keep going and keep going. There's other ways to deal with it. Don't let it get to you. Don't just keep pushing it down and stuffing it down till it all comes out, and it's going to come out in some sort of negative way. It doesn't matter how accomplished you are or how if you your perspective that you have nothing, you can still feel depressed. Michael Phelps, on top of the world, won the most Olympic medals, I believe 23. Depressed. He wanted to kill himself. And he's right now also on the path where he feels it's too many people. I believe it's like 700 to 800,000 men per year are just committing suicide. That's too much. And I you know, during Christmas, I always do my Merry Fitness shows. I try and spread cheer to everybody because I know the holidays could be tough and depressing for people. And just I read about the suicides, and I've had friends who have committed suicide. My first friend that committed suicide, I was a freshman in high school. Rest in peace, Freddie Rios. Freddie took a gun to the graveyard, and he shot and killed himself on the graveyard of his mom and his sister. He didn't have a dad. His sister and his mom were killed by a drunk driver, and he wasn't in the car, and that's all he had. And so he felt alone. And even though there was a lot of us that hung out, he didn't feel comfortable enough to talk to us, to tell us, I feel alone. I miss my mom. I miss my sister. I'm thinking about killing myself. And he didn't talk to anybody. And he went and he killed himself. And that was at 14 when I first really knew what was suicide. Because previous to that, I had experienced death, you know, I think 9 years old. And previous to that, I had seen death. But even before that, or just around the same time, maybe, my girlfriend killed herself by accident, this one, with a gun as well. And so I had already seen like death by accident, natural cause death, murders as well. But that was like the first suicide that made me think like differently. And then a few years later, my other friend committed suicide in his house with his whole family there during the holidays. Used to play basketball with him all the time. And it's tough. I don't know how many years later and still think about them, still honor them in the ways that I do. If that could be avoided, I'm not a professional to tell you. A situation like that, like with my friend, I don't think I would have the words to help. I would have to refer him to some professional. Some people are going to come, and hopefully if they start conversation with you, maybe they'll tell you something that you're not going to be able to deal with. And if you can't deal with it, that's okay. There's professionals for that, because I definitely wouldn't be equipped to be able to tell him, you know, with the loss of his mom and his sister, and then being basically alone, that I'd be speechless, kind of like I am now trying to think about it. And that's just one of many stories of people who have committed suicide. And I just would like to do my part to leave this world a better place. And I know other people that are maybe leaning towards suicide but don't want to do it. They'll start abusing alcohol and drugs really, really hard, trying to do it that way. And then I know people that once they have the courage with alcohol and other drugs, then they'll do it. That's a tough situation. Reach out to people Father's Day, the whole month. Call up your homies, your friends. Call them up and say, how you doing? It's been a minute. Just want to say I love you. Stay up. Hope you're doing good. Reach out to me anytime you need me. If anyone does need me, feel free to hop here on Fireside and I'll be more than happy to talk with you, especially on the next show that I'll be doing, following up more with on the athletes and what they did to deal with it. Because, you know, it would be like a, you know, like a police officer or a military. When you think of athletes, you think tough people, you know, boxers. But there's actually quite a few that have come out. And that is one thing that I do see, more people are being open to it. It's becoming less and less stigma, but it's nowhere near where it needs to be for us to really help bring down these numbers of suicide and everything else. If you found this useful and somewhat inspirational, or you think there's someone that needs to hear it, feel free to share it with them. And also, if someone needs professional help, please reach out to the suicide hotline or mental professionals, anything, just seek professional help. There's nothing that some people will be able to do, but the first step you can do is just reach out and talk to someone, whether it's a friend, family member, even if you have to kind of do it with like, have one beer and that, you know, don't take it past that, but have a beer to kind of be able to start loosening up and talk. And just talking, that might just be enough for you to feel better. And so that next time you can open up even more, or maybe open up to another person. And eventually, hopefully some of that weight of on your shoulders or the way you view the situation, you can change the perspective so it won't bother you as much. Thank you, Bree, for joining me. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate all the support. This has been Coach Ray Z, Athletic Definition, episode 196. I'll be back. I'm bringing more guests, so be on the lookout for that. And as I mentioned, this is like part one of part two the whole month. Like I said, it's been hectic. I took time off for myself, for my own mental well-being. I started that time that I took off. I got rededicated to my workout. So working out right now has been phenomenal for me. I still have some other issues going on. I'm still dealing with some things. A birthday just passed. Father's Day's tomorrow. I get to finally hang out with my kids. And I just want to wish everybody a good time with their family. Appreciate it. A couple weeks ago, I went and I went to a funeral for my godmother from baptism. And I think that's kind of what started the whole self-reflection and just me needing to take some time off, because you know, you start thinking about other people have passed. You start thinking about your own mortality, if you've accomplished what you wanted to accomplish, and so many other things. And besides all that, you have the life stresses. So I took time off for myself. To get myself right. And I'm feeling way better. I will continue the show. You'll never get rid of me unless I'm RIP. But when I do take time off, just know there's nothing wrong. It's just that I'm mentally putting myself together. And to be able to, I put in a lot of time and effort into trying to better myself as a podcaster and bring you better quality shows. So thank you, everybody. Till next time. I'm out.